Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN. I'm David Dye. Michaela Majoon is here to talk with the Lancaster, Pennsylvania-based group, the Straybirds, from the stage of World Cafe Live. The Straybirds are a tight three-piece folk band made up of Maya DeVitri, Oliver Craven, and Charlie Minch. Their new album on Yep Rock is called Best Medicine. Michaela started out by asking Maya how long the members have known each other.
Charlie and I have known each other since middle school. We were in the middle school orchestra together. So we go pretty far back.
So you all played classical music, is that correct?
Yeah, we're really fortunate to be in some really good public school music programs growing up in Ephrata and Hempfield school districts out in Lancaster.
So how far a distance was it from the classical music that you play to the high and lonesome and the folk that you embraced?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that I like to say that we sort of learned to play our instruments through classical music, you know, like learning techniques was, at least for me on the bass, you know, the way that I sort of came to know my instrument. Maybe with me, the exception, I know these two, Oliver and Maya, were in family bands, you know, sort of there was like the school and there was the classical music scene, but then also at home there was like a much more relaxed and informal sort of setting that maybe you guys, Oliver especially, he comes from the Craven family band.
Yep. Actually, I love them. That's good, Charlie. Classical music had everything to do with us learning the instruments, but then sort of learning how to play them in a way we did outside of that setting.
Well, if you're studying classical guitar, for instance, that teaches your fingers a lot that you could use in this kind of music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where they work fast.
Yeah, Maya and I both studied classical violin, and Charlie, the bass. We're all orchestral sort of people.
Multi-instrumentalists they are. Straybirds with us today on the World Cafe. Well, we're going to start out with the title track, Best Medicine, and how did this come to be?
We were spending some time in upstate New York in a little town called Schenectady, and it's where the big old General Electric headquarters is located, and there's some boarded up buildings on some of the main streets in town, and there's some little shops. There's this place called the Ambition Cafe, and there's a record shop called the Recollector, and we went into the Recollector and started looking through the bins of vinyl, and we met Kurt, who has this shop, and he has had an interesting and, I guess, kind of difficult life at times, and he was really inspiring that he's keeping this tiny shop alive and selling used things. He's selling used vinyl. He's selling jewelry that he's gone out to the Southwest and collected and traded for, and he wanted to be a music teacher when he was graduating from high school and never really got that chance to do that. And now he's still like making a living in music somehow and playing a little bit here and there and selling vinyl records and welcoming these people in this town into his shop. And I just talked with him that day and walked around the town and wrote this song. And I know that it really affected him positively, and we made a music video about it and actually filmed it in his shop, and he's like the star of the video, and he called me and left a voicemail on Christmas Eve and wished me a Merry Christmas and to pass it on to Oliver and Charlie. So it just feels really good to go full circle with that kind of thing and meet someone, a total stranger, be inspired by his life and his story and his shop, and give him a song.
Nothing, my friend, is harder to leave than the sound of a town with ambition up its sleeve. But this is my main street, my red neon sign, and I'm just another record shop hanging on the vine. I walk like I've been near some digging in the air. Well, 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 all I see is all I tell. I never met a stranger to the bottom of. Well, if the body is a temple, the soul is a bell, and that's what music is, the best medicine I sell. Now I'm slowing down, but time, she just flies, and the crows have come to land on the corners of my eyes. But I have seen beauty that has no name, like where the moon meets the river, where the river meets the rain. Well, 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 all I see is all I tell. I never met a stranger to the bottom of. Well, if the body is a temple, the soul.
Was gorgeous, the title track of the new Stray Bird CD, Best Medicine. And you've clearly developed a wonderful sense of harmony with each other. I mean, people always talk about people in families being the best harmonizers, but you do very well. Did that take a while to affect?
I don't think so. It took a little while for us to sort of realize how we best worked together. So I think so, you know, but when we were starting out, you know, we said this is the third anniversary of the band 3 years ago. It was a little bit of finding the right vocal range and the right place for people. But if you listen really closely to the band, you'll often find that Charlie is singing beneath me and Maya above me. It's often sort of stacked that way, though at times a little differently. Yeah, I also like to think that, you know, when we go to the UK and other parts of Europe, people remark on how, like, they just can't seem to get that kind of harmony. You know, we've got friends in bands similar to this one in other parts of the world, and I think it may actually have something to do with the fact that, you know, it's not familial, the relationship, but geographically, we're all from, like, the same place, and so we have, like, the same accent. And have been raised listening to and hearing the same kind of people speak in the same dialect. And so I think that just the way that we've learned language has affected the way that we sing and enabled us to sing better together so tightly.
It's interesting that in the UK they would say that, because a lot of the music over here is from there that grew up in the Appalachian area and other parts of the U.S. And that's the kind of music that you seem to especially love.
Yeah, we do acknowledge that the roots from this particular music come from even before it was being played in the United States, for sure.
It's a very old form. So here's a question that you may or may not be able to answer. How do you make it contemporary? What
I'd
is
like,
it
I'd
that
like
you do that, that makes it... What did you say?
I'd like to phone a friend.
Is that your final answer?
You might not be able to answer.
I can't. What do we do to make it contemporary?
Well, I mean, we're writing new songs, and we're using just a few chords, and we're using a lot of these simple melodies, but we're writing new songs about sometimes contemporary issues, and I think it's contemporary because we're doing it, and we're still alive. Hopefully by the time this airs, too. But I don't know, like, I think that I didn't often think about whether or not people were, you know, like, what time period they were playing in when I was growing up, and I listened and loved to so much different music. And
like what, Maya?
I loved Iris DeMent and Lucinda Williams, and I loved the Bach cello suites, and I loved the Beatles, and I loved the Band, and more recently I love Levon Helm's, you know, records that he's done apart from the Band. I loved the music that my family played in the living room and at campfires and at festivals, the contemporary bluegrass and Americana and old-time music that I was hearing. And I often learned old-time tunes from, you know, one of my parents' friends, not from the archival recording from West Virginia, but I was learning it from, you know, from someone who was just sitting there with me in person. And I think there's a lot of merit to learning, you know, this kind of music from the source, but I think we're coming to it at a time where people are just discovering this music in all kinds of different ways. You know, the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack introduced a lot of my friends in school to this music. They're like, have you heard of Alison Krauss? And I'm like, yeah. So I think it's contemporary because we're standing here and talking with you and doing it.
That's a good answer. And I think it's wonderful that there has been a whole resurgence of acoustic music among people of your generation, because it is living and breathing, and it's here on the World Cafe today. So what are you going to do for us next?
You want me to sing one?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to do a song that we haven't recorded. Maybe we'll do it in the future, but we do it live. And since it's so nice to have a studio audience, we'll send it out to all them who came out here on a Monday. What is it, afternoon? Evidently, they don't. These are the folks in Philadelphia without jobs, coming, without normal jobs. So we'll send it out to all you people. It's a song by a guy named Caleb Clowder, and it's called New Shoes.
Gone down to New Orleans, baby, won't you take me with you? Yeah, now I can't stand sitting around wondering what it is that you do. Well, it seems the way that you talk to me ain't like the way you used to. Yeah, things around here don't settle down. Gonna buy myself some new shoes. I'm gonna walk away from your heart. Sing my way back home. Did, did, did. Oh, Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Newton Town, a sing blues. Call you on the telephone, I find out you're not alone. I'm due. Yeah, I'm gonna walk on down to the 5 and down by some shoes start looking fine today. Ooh, I got my head up high and I'll never cry. Gonna carry on that way. I'm gonna walk away from your heart. I'm gonna sing my way back home. Sing the blues to you. Oh, I'm gonna call you on the telephone. I'll find out you're not all alone. I'm blue. Hey, I'm gonna walk on down to the five and down by. Some shoes start looking fine today. Oh, I got my head up high and I'll never cry. Gonna carry on that way.
Another song from the Stray Birds, our guest today on the World Cafe. It's really exciting and it must be very validating for you. I mean, you got a record label, you're being invited out, your audiences are growing. It's a lot of hard work that you put into this, but it's paid off in a pretty short time, no?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing. 3 years doing this sort of like, you know, full-time, full-on, it certainly feels... yeah, gratifying to say the least, and fulfilling, and all of those things. You know, it's singing a lot of these songs every night. It's not like you can get tired of it, but I mean, you know, for the things to keep sort of like ramping up like that is really something that keeps us moving forward and motivated, as you know, touring musicians and people who say that they do this for a living. You know, that's really becoming a reality. So yeah.
And your parents are probably relieved a lot, too.
Yeah, maybe. No, I think for me, the first year or two, I would, like, go to the family Christmas party, and it was like, so, Maya, are you still, what do you call it, busking on the street? Is that what you're doing? Are you in college yet? And then, you know, eventually it's like, I've been hearing so much about your band. You guys are doing great. And, you know, that's one level of validation that's honestly nice when you do go and see your relatives, and they start to understand what you're doing. But, you know, one time on a snowy highway recently, Oliver was just looking at me, and he's like, you know, we have some really high highs and really low lows, more than people that are just, you know, going to an office every day and have some reliable comfort, something. And it is such a great experience to be able to do this and to travel and meet people and find kindred musicians all over the world and to find audiences who are willing to take their afternoon or their evening and come and relate to us in some way and just be together and experience live music. It's incredible. It's just a real privilege to do it. And we do feel really lucky, and we're, you know, putting in a lot of miles to do it, but it's truly gratifying. I can't say that enough.
Apropos of that comment about college, you did go to the Berklee School of Music.
I did. I went there for a year and a half, a couple years ago, before we decided to try to do this full time. And I made a lot of friends and met some really great teachers. And
tell us who you studied with, because you studied with some heavy hitters.
I studied with John McGann, who comes to mind first because he has since passed away, and so that was a shock. He was kind of young and a great mandolin player, but I studied with him on the fiddle, and he knew how much I liked to sing, and he knew how much I like to write songs, although I was there as a fiddle major. And he had me play along with Billie Holiday recordings. Like, I would play her vocal lines and her inflection because it's so unpredictable and so unique. And so I would play Billie Holiday's voice on my fiddle. That was, like, something we did. And then I studied with Daryl Anger, and another great fiddle player. And he also knew how much more time I was spending writing songs than practicing violin. And so he just asked me to bring my guitar in and play a song or two for him once in a while. And I think that the greatest thing about that school is the flexibility of the teachers.
You don't have to go to college to learn about music. And you guys did not do that, right? You went into music right away.
Well, I'll let Charlie tell you about, he's actually the most qualified musician on stage.
Qualified to do what?
Yeah, right. I went to school for music ed and studied under a guy named Peter Paulson, who's a bass player and a composer and just an amazing guy. And, you know, we were studying classical, obviously, like you said, and then also jazz and, you know, bluegrass forms and all of that. But, yeah, in terms of being the most qualified, I don't know about that.
Hey.
Oliver kind of, like, rejected formal music. At a point.
Yeah, I've hated music my whole life, really. I didn't study it in higher education, but I did take classical violin lessons for a decade, about. And, man, I really hated it for the first 5 years. I started when I was 5 years old, and my parents made me go every Wednesday to Mrs. Moyer's house in Lancaster. And, boy, was she a stickler. She was a tough one. Yeah, I just really didn't like it. I was embarrassed, and I just wanted to play ball. And every Saturday was group violin lesson in Lancaster at Grace Lutheran Church on James Street. And one particular Saturday, I think I was about, 10 or 11 years old, I was on my way to group violin lesson. My family had this blue Volvo station wagon that we used to drive around the pot pie circuit and play in our family band. And I was sitting in the back on the right-hand side, sort of above that wheel, and we were driving past the Lincoln Fire Hall, and my friends were there having a home run derby. And, man, I just wanted more than anything in the world, A, to be with them, and rather there than what I was doing. And, B, I started praying that they wouldn't see me, and find out I was in the back of the station wagon going to stupid group lesson. I know. But then there, as we drove past, we turned onto Market Street in Lincoln, and we're starting driving down the way, and I can see, and Ryan Lurch is there about to bat, and Ross Buckwalter's pitching him the ball. And he pitches him. They're playing, like, with a metal bat and a tennis ball, so they're all hitting home runs, like, all day long. And Ross throws the ball, and he goes right over the plate, and Ryan just, and he knocks it, and then it's like, oh, my God, it's coming right at me. And it hits the side of the car right where I'm sitting. So not only am I not playing baseball, but I'm going to violin lessons, but my friends are knocking home runs off of the panel of the Volvo station wagon that I'm sitting in the back of on a Saturday morning in the summer on the way to group violin lesson.
Ashamed.
So by the time I was prepared to go to college, music was the last thing I wanted to study, and I just decided, I actually went to Temple University for a little while and studied other things.
So how did you end up in music?
By dropping out of Temple University.
What, you mentioned the pot pie circuit? What's that? I haven't heard that term before.
Well, it may or may not be a term that the Reverend Timothy Craven made up. My dad's a Lutheran minister, and a lot of his ministry involved music, and I was part of the family and therefore part of the band, and we would go around and do what we endearingly referred to as the pot pie circuit, a lot of church functions, things like that, you know. It's Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I liked the mother-daughter banquets myself.
You're so honest.
I find the less seriously I take myself up here, the more time, better time everybody has.
The Straybirds are our guests today on the World Cafe. Their new album is called Best Medicine. I was hoping you'd do the bells for us. Is that possible?
That's
all my
quite a coincidence that you asked for that song, because we were just fixing to do it anyway.
Stable, there's a dog-eared Bible on a kitchen table. Mississippi morning, cotton plantation in a Tarrytown underground railroad station. Abraham rises on a day to sun it all 6'4", hell's divided. Cries like he knows what the wind is bringing. Now the trees are down, but the birds are singing. Muddy waters deep on the station. She reads the law like an invitation. Oil is low, lamp is burning, and the wheels are busted, but they keep on turning. Break my bread, share my water, take my hand and call me brother. Kingdom stands, walls are leaning at the edge of the water. A king is dreaming. Muddy waters keep on rolling, and the bells are cracked. They keep on tolling.
A song like that is the best medicine. It's from the best medicine, from the Stray Birds, the Bells. Well, thank you so much for coming by. It's wonderful to meet you. And congratulations on this great album and on, you know, the way that your career is growing and all the exciting things that are happening.
It's really been our pleasure here today, hasn't it?
Yes. And ours, too.
Thanks, Michaela. Thanks for having us.
It was wonderful.
We love XPN.
And thanks to our special producers of the World Cafe who help us a lot with getting all this music out there. We'll be right back on the World Cafe.
I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN is produced at WXBN in Philadelphia. If you'd like to hear more of our World Cafe sessions and get daily cafe alerts, you can sign up at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.